I'm speaking today via Skype with violist Derek Reeves, who is performing with the Oak Ridge Symphony on Sunday, February 9th at 3 o'clock. He will perform the Viola Concerto by Telemann, as well as William Grant Still's Suite for Violin. Derek, it's so great to talk with you. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you, Melanie. It's a pleasure being here with you.
Well, let's get to know you a little bit. When did you start playing a musical instrument?
I started playing the violin when I was 2.5 years old. My mother was a violinist and a pianist and a music educator, and my dad was actually a jazz saxophonist in addition to being a military officer. My mom was a fan of the Suzuki program, which was a method of starting children at a young age. And being from a military family, we moved around a lot. But after we moved to the States from Japan when I was 2.5, I was born in Japan. We moved to Minnesota, St. Paul, the Bloomington, St. Paul area. And there was a wonderful Suzuki program that was affiliated with the University of Minnesota. And so the time seemed right. And I haven't looked back since. As I grew and my interests became more varied, I did start to play the viola as well. But the violin has always remained near and dear to my heart. So I'll actually be playing both instruments on the program.
So, as you just mentioned, you grew up in a military family, moved around a bit. Talk to me about the role that music played in your life as a kid.
In a military family, we moved around every 3 years, basically. So it was very grounding. It was really a constant as I was always going to different schools, meeting new people. It was the one thing that sort of I was able to take with me. But it was also something that I think brought our family closer together, because even though I was the only sibling that went into music professionally, my brothers participated as well. And so we would play in our church orchestra together, and my parents would sing in the choir, that sort of thing. So it was always something that I felt brought the family closer together.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start playing the viola, and why did you make the switch? Or did you make the switch? You said you still play violin.
I still play violin. I was actually had worked for several years as a professional violinist, but I felt that there was a certain level of physical comfort that was eluding me, you know, because as I was sort of settling into my adult body, I felt that with the length of my arms and the size of my hands and that sort of thing, I felt somewhat constricted. I mean, I always loved the violin repertoire. It's always something that's resonated with me, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But on a certain level, as I grew up, I became more interested in physical disciplines, you know, like yoga and martial arts and that sort of thing. And I became more interested in the efficient functioning of the human body.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel all this tension sometimes when I play the violin, and I just felt that there had to be a better way. And I read this book called Body, Mind, Sport, and it basically took an Ayurvedic approach to sports. And there are lots of parallels between sports psychology and music practice. And the author drew parallels between certain body types and the physical activities in which athletes excel. And I started to think that perhaps my body type might be more suited to the viola. And so initially it was just kind of an exploration on my part. And then I gave it a try, and it definitely felt a lot more liberating in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually felt that playing the viola made me a better violinist, and vice versa. So I feel that it's really just sort of served to increase my musicianship on the whole.
You have held several leadership positions with various orchestras, including Associate Concertmaster of the Charleston Symphony Orchestra, Concertmaster of the Columbus, Indiana Philharmonic, and you are currently Principal Violist with the Fort Wayne Philharmonic. Do you prefer holding leadership positions like those?
I do. I'm not averse to section positions, but I do enjoy leadership positions. Particularly in Fort Wayne, I love my current position because I have a great deal of respect and admiration for the other leaders of the sections. And I get to play in a string quartet with the other string section leaders. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that aspect of collaborating with the conductor. For me, music is very collaborative. It's very communicative, you know. Mm-hmm. So I do enjoy the collaborative and communicative aspects, but also in the sense that the orchestra is sort of a microcosm of society, and the viola section is like a community. Mm-hmm. You know, uh-huh. I enjoy the idea of being the representative of that community and the sort of, you know, the congress of the of the section leaders.
Yeah, you know, musicians often joke with each other about how each instrument or each section kind of has their own personality, like personality mm-hmm. stereotypes. Absolutely. I won't make any viola jokes, though. I won't go there.
Well, thank you. But if you change your mind, I'll laugh if it's funny.
Okay, so let's talk about this concert in Oak Ridge. The title of the program is Musical Firsts, and the focus is to pay tribute to musical firsts in this concert, featuring trailblazing African-American composers. On the program are works by three different composers of color. We'll hear music by Daniel Bernard Romain, Jesse Montgomery, and William Grant Still, and also George Friedrich Telemann's Viola Concerto. Let's start out by talking about the Telemann. Why this piece on a concert featuring African-American composers? How was this a first?
Well, it's probably the first time that that Telemann has been in the minority.
That's true.
It may well be the first time that it's been formed side by side with the William Grant Still Suite.
Mm-hmm. I think I read this is believed to be the first viola concerto. Do you know if that's true?
I think that is true, actually. I think that is true.
So maybe that's how he made the roster.
Yes, indeed.
Have you performed this work before?
I have not. I have studied it and I've taught it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm very much looking forward to performing it.
And the other piece you are performing is William Grant Still's Suite for Violin. Tell us more about this piece. I read that it was inspired by some sculptures.
A sculpture and two paintings, okay. I believe. So each movement is inspired by a work of art by an African-American artist. So the first one is a very energetic and vivacious movement inspired by a piece called African Dancer.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is called Mother and Child, which is a very, very moving, heartfelt piece. And then the third one is Gamin, about a little mischievous boy that's also very energetic and witty. I've performed this piece many times in its other incarnation as a suite for violin and piano. So I'm very excited to perform it in the larger manifestation for orchestra.
So William Grant Still was influenced by blues and spirituals and often incorporated this into his music. Will we hear those influences in this piece?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The blues is very prevalent in the third movement. Astute listeners will notice the blues present in the harmonic progression. I think the contributions of people of the African diaspora are so rich and varied. There's blues, there's jazz, there's spirituals, there's gospels, but there's also just the vitality of African rhythms, African, you know, polyrhythms. And so you'll hear that a lot in the first movement, the African Dancer, sort of the African experience. It's not yet distilled through the American experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the second movement, Mother and Child, is very soulful. It evokes the essence of the spiritual tradition, but I think it does so with a sort of the erudition of the classical tradition,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the way the motives are developed.
I feel like in the past year or two, more attention has been placed on programming symphony concerts and recordings more inclusively, meaning music written by women or composers of color, those who have often been overlooked or just not performed. We may not have enough time for this discussion, but I feel like it's important, so we can at least try to touch on this a little bit. Why do you think that this music has been overlooked for so long, and why is it important to program this music?
Wow. Yeah, that's a loaded question. I think the music has been overlooked for so long because for so many years there was a tendency to marginalize the contributions of marginalized people, to say that the ideas of women are unimportant, the ideas of people of color or people of African descent are unimportant, that their works of art are inferior, that because their minds are inferior. And of course, now we are able to recognize that those ideas and those sentiments is patently false, and that they are born of ignorance and fear and an attempt to keep the status quo in place. And so now the plight of symphony orchestras to retain and regain their relevance in society is coinciding with both an appreciation of the contributions of people of color, but also of people sort of realizing their own worth in that context. So people actually want to hear, I mean, which is to take nothing away from the works of dead white guys and living white guys too. You know, it's all important, but intellectual and artistic contributions of all people have value. But also, orchestras are attempting to demonstrate their value to the communities in which they live by having more representation of people that comprise the societies in which they exist. Otherwise, why would people want to buy tickets to come hear these concerts? If they're not playing music that speaks to my experience, why should I support it? So I think that is part of what is causing this rebirth, this regeneration of interest in music of women and Black and Native American and Hispanic composers that people may not know. I mean, I've been playing William Grant Still for years, and it's great now that it's reaching a wider audience.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know for me personally, I've begun to intentionally program more music by women composers. And, you know, I always knew there were lots of women composers out there, but just by becoming intentional, I'm just learning about so much music that is out there being written and performed and created. And it's just taking that step to intentionally look for this. And it's exciting. You know, you're hearing
Absolutely.
fresh, new music, and who doesn't like that?
Absolutely. I mean, we just played a piece of by Jesse Montgomery last weekend in my orchestra, and it's wonderful. And there's so much great music that's just not heard, and there's no compelling reason as to why it shouldn't be heard more often.
You are a musician of color. Would you be willing to talk to us about some of the challenges that you have faced relating to that?
I would be happy to. The things that I've experienced haven't been anything near the things that my forefathers have experienced, you know. I've never been personally denied a job or performance opportunity because of the color of my skin. But I have had many experiences where I've been the only Black person in an orchestra, for example. But by the same token, there are people of the preceding generation where that were absolutely denied opportunities because of the color of their skin. You know, I remember having a conversation with Sanford Allen, who was the first African American in the New York Philharmonic, about some of the experiences that he went through. You know, even things that my parents went through, not necessarily in classical music, but in their respective experiences and their respective lives. So I'm fully cognizant that I stand on the shoulders of so many people that have endured things that are far more dehumanizing and humiliating and egregious and painful and difficult than anything that I've experienced. And I recognize that I owe a huge debt to them. In my own experience, I've gone from thinking and believing perhaps that I was the only Black person playing classical music when I was a kid, to having probably hundreds of friends, colleagues, and associates that are playing classical music all over the country and all over the world. So that's been something that's been very gratifying and inspiring to see how we are bringing great tradition into the modern era, but also infusing it with the vitality and the relevance of our own experiences, but also battling the perception, or I should say the misperception, that we haven't been doing this all along. Because the fact of the matter is that Black people and women and people of color have been participating in classical music at the highest levels since its inception. And it's only by how stories are retold and the things that people choose to emphasize in their retelling of the stories that would make one think that it's only people of a certain gender or skin color that are the chief progenitors or advocates. Mm-hmm. Because we've been doing this at the highest levels all along. Mm-hmm. One of Mozart's teachers was Black. Beethoven's mother was a Moor. And there is a widely held belief, which I personally subscribe to, that the Beethoven piano sonatas get their vitality because of the presence of African polyrhythms that Beethoven probably heard as a child. And so in a sense, we're here because we love this music, and it is for everybody. It's music that's for everybody, and it's every bit as relevant to our modern society as it was to the time in which it was written. And that's why we're here, you know. DBR and Jesse Montgomery, William Grant Still, and just a big shout out to Dan Alcott and the Oak Ridge Symphony for programming this music. And then I feel humbled and grateful to be invited to play this concert and to bring this wonderful music to the people of Tennessee.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm really excited about this program too. In addition to being a performer, you are also an educator. What are some of the outreach endeavors in which you participate or that you lead?
Okay, well, for about 13 years now, I've been spearheading and teaching a program called Club-O, Club Orchestra, which is a joint partnership between the Fort Wayne Philharmonic and the Fort Wayne Community Schools. It's originally started off as a partnership between the Fort Wayne Philharmonic and the Boys and Girls Club, hence the moniker Club Orchestra. And the point of this is to give access to music education, quality music education, to young boys and girls that would not otherwise have access. You know, we want to battle the perception that music is only the domain of the privileged and the middle and upper class. No, this is for everybody. Mm-hmm. And everybody should have access. And so I'm very pleased to be affiliated with that organization. There have been hundreds and hundreds of kids that have come through the program, and it's great. And of course, not everybody is going to be a professional musician, and that's not the point. The point is for everybody to have access to the emotional, intellectual, and social benefits that solid music education provides.
Absolutely.
That should not be the domain of the privileged few.
Yeah. Learning music, playing music with other people, it teaches you so much. That goes way beyond the performance, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, Derek, I can't wait to hear you perform with the Oak Ridge Symphony. It was such a pleasure chatting with you today.
Thank you, Melanie. The pleasure was mine. I look forward to meeting you in person.
Derek Reeves, principal violist with the Fort Wayne Philharmonic and faculty member at the Purdue University Fort Wayne School of Music. He is performing with the Oak Ridge Symphony on Sunday, February 9th at 3 p.m. The concert will be at the Grove Theater in Oak Ridge. Tickets and information are online at orcma.org.